Let us pray. God of glory, Christ shone upon the mountaintop, cast the brilliance of your gospel into our hearts, that Christ may shine in us in all we do. Amen. A reading from 2 Corinthians. Now God is spirit, and where the spirit of God is, there is freedom. And all of us, with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of God as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from God, the Spirit. The gods of this world keep us from seeing the splendor of Christ, who is the image of God. But God, who said, "Let shine out of darkness," shines in our hearts so that we ourselves radiate with the light of God. The face of Jesus Christ gleams in us. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in our ministry, we do not lose heart. We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Luke's gospel. The story of the transfiguration really begins before the verses cited. Jesus tells his disciples that he believes he's going to suffer and die, and tells them that if they really want to follow him, they too are going to suffer. He says, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life, you will save it. And then Luke says, 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and went up the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face was changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, speaking with him. They appeared in glory, and they were speaking with him about his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now, Peter and the disciples were weighed down with sleep, but they woke up, and they saw his glory and those two who were talking with him. And just as they were going away, Peter said, "Oh, Master, it's good that we're here. Let me build three shelters, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. But while he was speaking, a great cloud came and enveloped them. And they were filled with terror as they entered this cloud. And a voice from the cloud came that said, "This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, they found Jesus alone. And they kept silent. In those days, they did not tell anybody anything about what they had seen. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. The Transfiguration story, which is about glory, comes in the middle of a bigger story that's about suffering. Jesus tells the disciples he's going to suffer, and if they're going to follow him, they will suffer too. And then there's this mountain in which God says, "Listen to him." And the next thing that happens is Jesus comes down from the mountain, and Luke says, sets his face toward Jerusalem, where he will die. So this isn't just a story about the glory of Jesus. This is a story about glory that comes in the middle of this suffering. When Jesus has not only predicted his suffering, but invited his disciples to engage in suffering for the sake of love and justice. And in response comes this story at the top of the mountain. And it's not just that Jesus approves of him and says, he's right, listen to him. Jesus appears shining with light, as if there's some otherworldly power at work in him. And he appears talking with Moses and Elijah. Luke says they're talking about his departure. It's the translation that we have often uses that word. The word that Luke uses in Greek isn't exit, it's exodus. Escape from freedom. And especially with Moses there, it makes us think of leading an entire community to freedom. But it's also his death in Jerusalem. They're talking about death. And come to think of it, Moses and Elijah are dead. Elijah's been dead for hundreds of years. Moses has been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it would appear that Jesus is among the dead. But here he is standing there quite alive and shining with light as if he has been raised from the dead. Oh my goodness. This is a resurrection appearance before the resurrection. This is God's foreshadowing. But even more than that, Jesus, before he even suffers, is already raised from the dead because he already died. Remember what he said to the disciples? If you lose your life, you will save it. When we surrender our life for the sake of love and justice, we enter into something that's eternal. Jesus has told the disciples that. He's already died. He's already given his life over to love. He's already been raised to new life. So when the time comes for him to face that suffering in his future, he's already done it. He's already been there. He's already raised from the dead beforehand. And he's raised not just because he decided to do this brave thing. He's raised from the dead because there's a light that shines in him that God put there. And the miracle is that light shines in us. Those words that God speaks out of the cloud, "This is my beloved, my child," those are baptismal words. That's what God says to Jesus at his baptism. And that's what God says to each of us at our baptism. "You are my beloved, and my light shines in you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the light that is the life of all people." If you're alive, you have that light of God shining in you, that divine light, which, because it's divine, is eternal. Nobody can take that from you. Even death can't take it from you. Jesus knew that. And this story shows us that resurrection beforehand, before he even heads into his suffering. Because of that eternal light. And Paul says, each of us is being transformed into that image, that light, from one degree of glory to another, continually releasing that light that's in us. So when we anticipate suffering or struggle, we know that God does not save us from the suffering or the struggle. God bears us through it and raises us to new life. We don't know what that new life will look like, but it will be new, and it will be full of light, and it will be full of God, so we're not afraid. And then the job of our faith is to discern that light within ourselves and come to trust it and release it and live by that light like Jesus did, so that nothing scares us away from giving away our lives for the sake of love and justice. Nothing holds us back. Once Jesus has made that decision, you'll hear in weeks to come, people warn Jesus, Herod is out to kill you. And Jesus will say, that's okay with me. You tell that fox, I'm going to keep right on doing what I'm doing, because he's already been raised. The suffering that you fear you might have to face, you've already been raised right through it. It might be personal suffering, little things, little difficulties. It might seem big. It might be the loss of loved ones or the failure of your health. God sees you as already raised from the dead, even before you face that difficulty. And the task of our faith is not only to see that and to rely on that light in ourselves, but to see it in every other person. If you're alive, you have the light of God in you, and it's eternal. This last week, our general conference of our United Methodist Church passed a resolution that for them felt like a victory. For the people who voted that way, for a lot of us, it feels like a crucifixion. They chose to intensify our official persecution of a whole class of people, to condemn all of those lesbian, gay, trans, bisexual, asexual, everybody, just lump them all together and decide that they are contrary to Christian teaching. Now, for some of us, that feels like death. That feels like a betrayal of that faith that the light shines in all people. And if you're alive, you're one of them. And it doesn't matter what some group in St. Louis votes on. They can't vote down your eternal light. Part of what that means is that we as a church have to work harder to bring out that light, to honor that light. Because now it's been publicly dishonored. So it's our job as a congregation to speak out and publicly claim that light that's in all people, not just some. It also means that because of that vote, we can expect a great deal of chaos in the church. We don't exactly know what that'll look like, because a lot of that decision is probably unconstitutional according to the United Methodist Church's constitution, so who knows where that's going to end up. But it's going to be chaos. It's going to be hard. And Jesus standing on the mountain reminds us, yep, it's going to be hard. It's going to be like birth. It's going to be painful and messy, and then something new will happen. There will be a new resurrected church out of this. That's not just a promise. What Jesus on the mountain shows us is it's already true. There already is a church. Not the whole United Methodist Church, but there is a bunch of us who are already honoring that light in all people and who are willing to suffer for the sake of love and justice to work for that. Because we can see that light in all people. And that is what holds us together. That's what unites us. It's not our opinions about human sexuality. It's not our theology or our doctrine. It's not our religion. What holds us together is that God loves us. That's what we have in common. That eternal light that shines in us, that's what we have in common. Yesterday, I officiated at a memorial service for the daughter of a friend of ours who we had known up in New Hampshire years ago. And it was out in Hadley, right across the way from UMass Amherst. I almost stopped by to visit some of our students because I knew we have people there, just right down the road. And it was a real interesting crowd that gathered for this service. She was a nurse, so there were a lot of medical people there that she had worked with, nurses and doctors and folks like that. She was also a recovering alcoholic, so there were a bunch of her friends from her 12-step journeys through the years. That was a very different crowd. She's also a lesbian who had come out and had quite a community, so there were a bunch of her queer friends there. It was a pretty diverse crew. Economic levels and ways of living and religious beliefs and comfortableness or not with Christianity, all of these, it was like the San Diego Zoo. There was one of everything in that room. The one thing that everybody in the room had in common was that each one of them was somebody that Lara loved. That was the one thing they all had in common. Time after time, we come to this table and we eat this food because it's the food of heaven. It's a foretaste of the feast to come. It's a little hint of what the realm of God is like, in which we see that we all have that light shining in us, and we know that we all have this one magic thing in common. Everybody around the table, we are all there because each one of us is somebody that God loves. That's what we have in common. And so when something happens like this last week that threatens to shake the church and maybe split it apart, we come to the table. And we remember that nothing can split apart the people who see that light in one another and who know that that light is in everybody, including the people who get split off. We know better. And we come to see that light shining in ourselves and one another and remember the unity of that light and that word. And that's what gives us the strength and the courage to go out there and be willing to suffer for the sake of love and justice, knowing that even if it turns out badly for us, it's all right. We've already been raised to new life. And we look forward to it. It'll be messy. There will be suffering. And there will be new life. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your eternal light that shines in each of us. Help us to trust that light and live by it. Help us to see that light in others, especially those who are condemned or judged. Help us to be willing to suffer for the sake of your glory. God, for your eternal, unconditional love, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice. And for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.